Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, along with my co-host, Elder David Clifton, and Elder Ryan Fountain. We're your one God church, your one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We believe in one God. We believe in the mighty name of Jesus, salvation in the name of Jesus. According to Acts 4 and 12, there's neither is there salvation in any other, but there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We believe that. We thank God for the truth. As Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He said, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free. We believe the truth of God's word. And we thank God that we're able to be here on today. Like the scripture says, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we believe this, that the Bible is truth when it is rightly divided.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Just briefly here today, I want to read one scripture from the book of the Revelation, first chapter, verse number 18. And it reads as follows. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. And the part that I want to read again is, I am alive forevermore. There's a prophet out there that many look to and give a lot of accolades to, but he died. And he's still in the grave. He never rose again. And there's other ones out there that are being worshipped. And you know, they say some of them die, but they are reincarnated. The spirit, if you will, goes into another body. But I'm glad to say that the God that I live for, the God that died for me, the one that went in the grave is the same one that arose by his own power. And he is alive. And as he said, he is alive forevermore. So I just encourage you all to know that God. And we call him Jesus because that is the name that he revealed himself to us by. Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In the second chapter of the first epistle of John, it says, my children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And I wanted to pull out that word propitiation, and I think this, it goes right along with our discussion of the book of Romans. That word is used in the third chapter of Romans, and we didn't really get a chance to discuss it last week, but that word propitiation is discussing the covering of our sins. If you look at the Greek word that's used for propitiation, it's also used in the sense of in Hebrews 9 and 5, talking about the mercy seat. And the mercy seat was where Israel and the high priest would go to offer the blood of the Lamb, of the Passover Lamb, to God in the holies of holies, because the mercy seat sat upon the ark of God, and that is where the blood covered. All right, he had to sprinkle the blood seven times towards the mercy seat, seven times back to cover all the sins, both for the future of the year and for the past sins that happened. But we know that we have a much greater sacrifice. We don't rely on the sacrifice of bullocks or lambs any longer. Mm-hmm. We have the Lamb, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has an everlasting atonement. And his atonement was not just for the people that are in the church currently, but it's for everybody of the whole world, because he commanded all men to repent. And we must understand that salvation is open unto all men, and that we must, as Christians and as people of the church, we must call out unto those into the world to call them into this truth of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So we thank God for the word of the Lord, and we're going to surely bring up that word again as we go through the book of Romans, because we tried our best last week to talk about justification, is what we were endeavoring to do, all that we did with Abraham and with us, and the reason why this letter was being wrote, and it reflects back to Abraham, who is our father. You know, the Abraham ain't no father of a bunch of religions like people say, but Abraham is the father of faith. And the gospel was preached unto Abraham. And Abraham did definitely believe in the resurrection of the dead. That's why he obeyed God and went out and took his son. The Bible said that he went out not knowing whither he went. But he saw a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So he definitely believed in the resurrection. And we see that last week as we talked about Abraham going out to offer his only son, the son of promise, which was Isaac, in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. And he was going to slay his son. And he believed, the Hebrew writer said, that God was able to raise him even from the dead. So that's why he obeyed the Lord in going out to offer his son. So this propitiation that he talked about, we talked about on week before last, but he's a propitiation for our sins, the Bible said, talking about the believers, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So if you confess our sins, the Bible said, if we can confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that is those who have sins to confess. So if you messed up, there's nothing to do but to come clean. So we're going to move on. Last week, we were talking about justification, and there was so much to go to that. And so we're going to, and then so we see at the fifth chapter, we're going to give you into the hands of our historian in a little bit. But he's summing it up, saying that we've been justified by faith and how we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this week, we're going to continue in that vein, and also sanctification. There's so much that goes into the book of Romans. So without any further ado, we're going to give you into the hands of our historian in the person of Elder Ryan Fountain.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And we are going into the fifth chapter of Romans, but I think we need to go back into the fourth chapter, because the fourth and fifth chapter go right along together. Now, we know that the Bible, as it was written, these were letters written, so they were not broken down into chapters and the verses when Paul originally had these letters written.
Yeah.
They were straight through letters. You don't write letters today with chapters and with verses, but you write, if you're writing to a relative across the country, you just write on a piece of paper and send it through the mail. And so we have to keep that in mind, that although we go from the fifth chapter, from the fourth chapter, it's all still one thought going along, and it has to do with justification.
Yeah.
Now, we know that as we look back to the fourth chapter, we know that Abraham was not justified by his works according to the law, because Abraham did not have the law, and he did not have the covenant of circumcision before he had the promise. He only got that we know that he got the promise back in the 12th and 13th chapter, but he did not receive the revelation for circumcision until I believe it was the 15th chapter, and so his justification did not come through circumcision. Circumcision was a sign for his covenant. His justification, he was proven justified and proven right. He was given righteousness through his faith from the promise.
Yeah.
And so we're going to read the last few verses of the fourth chapter. And it says, in the 20th verse, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. This is talking about Abraham, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was now also able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. So it was not just for Abraham's sake, it was for our sake also. And I wanted to hit that point last week that the Old Testament scriptures were not just written for the Old Testament saints. They were written for our example. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and the 4th verse. And they did drink all the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. This is talking about Israel going through the wilderness, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, everything that they went through in the wilderness had a purpose. And we read this purpose in the 6th verse. It says, now these things were our examples. Who's the our in this statement? Well, Paul is writing to the church that is at Corinth. So the example was for the church. Everything that Israel went through in the Old Testament scriptures was for the example of the church. They were just a shadow of things to come. Everything that they did naturally happens with us spiritually. So that is, it was not just written for their sakes, but it was written for our sakes more so. Now, as we keep on reading, it says, 24th verse, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So that was the purpose for Jesus Christ being raised again, that we might be justified.
Right.
And that opportunity was given us to be justified.
Right. One thought before you bring that out. After the resurrection, the Lord imputed the Holy Ghost to all of those that were in the old covenant in the grave.
Amen.
That lived righteous before God.
Yes.
The same spirit got to be in you to raise up Jesus from the dead, got to quicken your mortal body.
Yes, and we can actually take a look at that. Let's go to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. And in start at the 51st verse, it says, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now, we have to time set this. What saints is he talking about? Because he's not talking about New Testament saints, because he actually, if you look at it just going in order with the Bible, now, you have to understand that the Bible, you can't always read it straight through because it's not a book that goes through like a storybook.
Right.
But you have to take a piece here and a piece there. You have to put precept upon precept, line upon line, and everything has to line up in its proper order.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it just reading through, you would think that this happened before the resurrection. But it did not happen before Jesus Christ's resurrection, because Jesus Christ's resurrection isn't talked about until the 28th chapter. But it says, many bodies of the saints which slept arose. These are Old Testament saints.
Right.
And came out of the graves when? After his resurrection. And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, these appeared, they were bodies. It says that their bodies rose up.
Right.
So they were actual physical bodies. These weren't spirits of the Old Testament saints. They were actual saints resurrected.
Right.
God put them back together and resurrected them for a time, and they went through the city rejoicing. This is one stage of the first resurrection. And through right division, if we go to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it talks about all of those people of faith that had the faith but did not yet receive the promise. But now, that was the time that they received the promise, and they will have the same blessing that we have going up into the clouds to meet with the Lord. If you look in the 11th chapter of Hebrews and the 37th verse, and they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains and in the dens and in caves of the earth. These are talking about the prophets. These are talking about the fathers of Israel. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, because it was not time for the promise.
Right.
The promise didn't come until the first chapter of Acts. But they received the promise after the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So they received the same promise that we have in this day. But we have an even better, because of the time that we live in, reading the 40 verse, God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So they will be made perfect, but not without us. We actually live in the time where we can be made perfect through the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
Right. Amen.
So they were justified just as we are justified, but they had to wait for their promise in the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, moving on into the 5th chapter of Romans, this is just a continuation of justification.
Right.
Let's talk about justification. First verse, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ and his justification brings us peace, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So now you have to have access to get into grace.
Yeah.
Grace isn't just falling upon you. You have to have access to it. If you have when we come into our church, there's a security alarm. And if you don't have the proper code to punch into that security alarm, you are not going to have the proper access, and that alarm is going to go off, and the police will come up and escort you elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
probably to jail.
Right.
But it's the same way with grace. Grace is in a place. You have to be in the proper place, and you have to have the proper access to get into grace.
Right.
Because at one point, we did not have the access to grace, being Gentiles. He's full of grace and truth, and it was given to us by Jesus Christ.
Right.
So you have to tap into grace and truth. And if we turn to the book of Ephesians in the 2nd chapter, the 2nd chapter, and starting in the 11th verse, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Now this is the separation of Gentiles to Jews.
Right.
That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise,
right.
having no hope and without God in the world.
Yeah.
There was no way that a Gentile, without converting into Judaism, could have God in this world.
Right.
There was no way you can have it, because we had no promise. We had no hope as Gentiles.
Right.
But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That word nigh means near.
Yes.
You were brought near to Christ. You were actually brought into a place where you are standing with Christ in your heart. And one day you will be with Christ face to face. That's how we are made nigh, by the blood.
Yes.
For he is our peace. Remember, we heard that justification brings peace. But Jesus Christ is our peace. He has made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That was what was blocking our access,
yeah.
That partition of the law. The law was keeping us out. We had no hope because the law would not let us in unless we conformed to that law and conformed to Judaism. But that law has now been broken down because it has been fulfilled through Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have access. We are able to come boldly unto the throne of grace. The throne used to be a throne of judgment, but now it is a throne of grace, and we can come boldly asking what we will. And so that is how we now have access. And if you have to be in a certain place, you have to do certain things to gain access.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And in order to get that access, you have to have your sins washed away, and you have to have your sins remitted, because you can't come unto God unclean.
Yes.
You have to be holy, a holy vessel. That's who he chooses to use, is holy vessels. And if you don't bring holiness to God, he can't use you, he can't accept you, because you are unclean. God never accepts an unclean sacrifice.
Amen.
He actually calls it a vain sacrifice, a vile sacrifice.
Right.
And if you bring that sort of stuff to him, he's going to reject it.
Mm-hmm.
So you may be offering up all you want, but if you do not have the proper methods and you are not cleansed, you are really not reaching God in the proper manner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if your heart wants to get cleansed, if you want, that's how we pray for the Holy Ghost. If your faith hits God, he will get you to get cleansed.
Correct.
Right. But you have to have your sins remitted through baptism.
Right.
And that is how sins are remitted, is through the baptism in his name. That's how the blood is applied on our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we get into grace, is through baptism in Jesus' name and receiving his spirit of promise.
Amen.
Amen?
Right. And we can see a type of that. We know that the Old Testament, as Elder Fountain had said, it was written for many reasons. And another thing is there was types and shadows locked up in the Old Testament, if you will. And we can see, as he's explaining, there's a way that you have to gain access. The priest, there was an order that they had to go to when they were going to do their services, and they had to wash.
Yes.
Then they had to sprinkle that blood on the outside.
Yes,
that was before they could even go in.
Yes.
Once they got in, there was a candle that had to be lit so that they could go and eat the bread. But without the light, which is a representation of the Holy Ghost, they could not see their proper portion of the bread, and that's why we say you have to have the Holy Ghost to even go through the scriptures, because you need that light to show you how to rightly divide it. And I don't know if one of these brothers can maybe find that for me, but my point is there is an order. God always has an order in a way that he does things, and you can see that in that Old Testament, where these priests, there was a certain ritual, if you like to call it, that they had to go through when they were going into those tents. And it's the same thing. The ordinances, if you will, or the process that you have to go through has not really changed, okay? Because we have to be washed, as Elder Fountain said, from our sins. And that is, my friends, through the baptism in Jesus' name.
Right.
That is, as we'll read further, and I don't want to get too far, but that is how we get into the body of Christ. Just real quick here, let me visit Thessalonians while these brothers look up this scripture for me, where it talks about the dead in Christ. I want to go to chapter number 4. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now, those dead in Christ, as he said, those that died not yet receiving the promise, they had to receive the promise. But we are all, as we say, in Christ. But there's a way that you have to get in Christ. And it is not by confession. You have to have your sins washed away to even be thought of as being in the body of Christ. Because, not like you said, there's a proper place for us to abide in, to receive the promises, or to have access to Christ. Amen?
Amen. And if we look at... if you look in the 40th chapter of Exodus, it talks about the method, everything that was discussed for the priest on how they should do what they should do was actually carried out in the 40th chapter of Exodus. And I will read through it. Chapter 40, verse number 18, it says, Moses reared up the tabernacle and fastened his sockets and set up the boards thereof, and put in the bars thereof, and reared up his pillars. Now God explained to Moses exactly how he should go through this order, and exactly how he should do this, and how Aaron should go about doing his job.
Mm-hmm.
And it says he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent upon it, as the Lord commanded Moses, and he took and put the testimony into the ark, and set the staves on the ark, and put the mercy seat above the ark, and brought the ark into the tabernacle, and set up the veil of the covering, and covered the ark of the testimony, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, we see that the Lord commanded Moses. As we move down, it says, verse 23, and he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded, and he put the candlestick in the tent. Verse 25, he says, he lighted the lamps, and he burns the sweet incense in verse 27, and then he set up the hangings on the door of the tabernacle. And as we move down in verse number 30, he set the laver. Now the laver is where the water was kept that Aaron and his sons had to wash before they went into the tabernacle. He set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water therein to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and washed their feet thereat, and they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up hangings on the court gate, and Moses finished the work. And then we see that the cloud came down, and the Lord filled up the tabernacle, because they did all according to what God had commanded. They offered as God had commanded. They washed as God has commanded. They did everything in order. And God came down into that place and filled it up with his glory. It stayed in there the entire night.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the order that God had wanted. And we have to understand that same sort of order goes along with the church. As I just said, that what they did in that day was for examples unto us. And so where they went in and they washed with their hands and feet with the laver and put on the holy garments to go in, that is how we are baptized in Jesus' name, and we put on the holy garments of the Holy Ghost,
right,
and walk into the congregation, and we are lighted with the candlestick, which is the light of the Holy Ghost, enlightening us with the shewbread, which is the word of God that has to be rightly divided, each priest his portion, and then he goes forth before the throne with the altar of incense, which is our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
That is how we get in, gain access unto God and stand before the throne. And when we get before the holies of holies, the ark of the testimony, where God himself sits down on our hearts, we are filled up with his glory, and we are filled up with his peace. We are filled up with his righteousness,
mm-hmm,
and we can just raise our hands and shout glory unto God and give praises and give worship unto him. Amen?
Yeah, amen, 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 amen.
Glory.
And that's why it's important, and that's why we started going through the book of Acts, because we had to show you first how to gain access and what we accuse, if you will, a lot of people of doing is they skip over the entire book of Acts and they jump right into Romans and try to grab out salvation. So even with that, we have to understand that God set that order that those priests had to go through. And the Bible says that all things must be done decently and in order.
Right.
God is serious about keeping order. And if you don't do it the way that God prescribed it, you are out of order and you're not going to receive all the blessings that you think that you have received. So I know it may seem that we're going kind of out of the way to explain some things, but when you are going to rightly divide the word, sometimes you have to turn a lot of pages in the Bible to get understanding of why we do or why we say a lot of the things that we do. We have to give some type of understanding. And there's always going to be an example in the scriptures as to why we do things the way that we say that we do them. Amen, brother?
Amen.
Amen. So as we move on, we've talked about access by faith into this grace where we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So all the troubles that we go through in life are for a reason. They're to work patience and to build up our faith. And patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Mm-hmm.
So now, that is how the love of God comes into our hearts, is through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, there's no way that we can love one another without the Holy Ghost, truly. Amen.
No way.
We talk about all the love that we have for one another, and there's people out there that say, I love everybody. But you can't truly love everybody if you don't have the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Because the Holy Ghost is love. God is love.
Amen.
And we know that the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God, and he's not a third person in the Godhead, but he is the Spirit of God that is in your heart. So not only is the Holy Ghost in your heart, God is in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is in your heart. All three of those are in your heart, but it's all just one Spirit.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
And that is how the love is shed abroad in your heart.
And here's the thing that I like, and Elder Cannon actually preached on this a couple of weeks back, dealing with when saints are hit with troubles and tribulations in our lives. We shouldn't be surprised by these things. As he says, someone reports some bad news, and we look and say, what? What happened? We shouldn't be surprised because in this building up of our faith, the first thing that Paul mentions here is tribulation.
Right.
So we have to go through things because that is what's going to perfect our patience in Christ. If we're going through tribulations, we'll learn how to be patient and wait on God. And once we learn how to be patient and wait, we get experience through that process. We experience and we learn, okay, this is going on, so now I know how to pray. Now I know how to get in my Bible and get some scriptures. Now I'm getting experience in walking with God, and God is faithful. He is going to answer your prayers if you are doing things according to his word. In that, you're going to build up your hope. You know, if I promise my children, a bicycle on their birthday, on their second birthday, if you will, when their birthday comes around and I give them that promise, the next time I make a promise, they're hoping they have something to look for because I have rewarded them.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't do that and I say that they're going to get it, eventually they're going to stop hoping in that promise because I have been seen as being an unfaithful promise maker. But we know that God is not that way, so we even have to understand that the tribulation and the patience and the experience and the hope, it says, hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We have to understand that God, even in tribulation, he's perfecting us. And I like that because a lot of times we get discouraged when bad things happen. But we have to understand what God is doing always in our lives. But if we don't read our Bibles, men and women, we won't understand these things, right?
Right.
Amen.
This is scripture I was looking for. Every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer.
Yeah.
For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law,
mm-hmm.
who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern, show to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises.
Mm-hmm.
For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they tenued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord.
Amen.
So we know that's even in the future to come, when he's going to turn Israel. Israel's going to turn back to God.
Yes, yes.
But the point being that the Lord established a new covenant.
Amen.
And he took it out of the box that they had,
mm-hmm.
the Ark of the Covenant, and he put it in our heart.
Yes, yes.
What it was
Amen.
All about.
Amen. And that goes right along with it's the same order. It's just a different method. What they did naturally goes on in us spiritually.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And let me hit on another point with the tribulation. In the first chapter of Philippians, the 28th verse, it says, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries or your enemies, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, mm-hmm. and that of God."
Yeah.
So every tribulation that your enemy brings upon you, they are meaning it to destroy you.
Yes. Right.
But God means it to save you.
Yes.
And
right.
wants to bring you out of that tribulation and build up your faith in him so that you may look towards the hope
yes.
of Jesus Christ appearing for you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And that is what he is speaking of. That love that is given to us by the Holy Ghost will work that tribulation and give you faith to get through that tribulation.
Amen.
Right, amen.
And there's many different programs in this world that people try to use, whether it be Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, or there's sex addiction clinics and there's all sorts of things that people try to do psychology for. But the best psychologist out there is the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. God will get you, your mind could be gone, and God could bring it right back like that
right.
with a snap of a finger.
Right, we're not recovering sinners.
Amen.
We're sons of God.
Amen.
We're saints of God, not recovering sinners.
Amen.
Like the world said, recovering alcoholics.
And things that seem impossible, God can do like it's nothing.
Yes.
Amen. And God knows what you have in your heart, and God can change your mind, and God can change your thoughts. God can do all of that just by you believing in him.
Amen.
And the scripture says you must believe that God is, and he is a rewarder
yes.
of them that diligently seek him.
Yes.
So if you seek him, he shall be found.
Yes.
And when he finds you, he will turn your heart, turn your thoughts, and give you love in your heart. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Where you had hate before, he will give you love. So now moving on in the sixth verse, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." And that's saying something in itself, but let's move on to complete the thought. "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." So now, you have to understand that we were of the worst sort.
Yes.
We were sinners. We were, let me go to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Starting at the 9th verse in the 6th chapter, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And without God, every single one of us was guilty of something in this list.
Right. The next
Everybody
verse.
was guilty of this.
Right.
In some manner or fashion, you were all guilty of this.
Yeah.
And it says, such were some of you.
Yeah.
But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Yeah.
That is how we are washed, by the name of the Lord Jesus, through what? Baptism.
Yeah.
And through the Spirit of God, by the Holy Ghost. That is how we are saved from all of these ungodly things, ungodly thoughts, all of that adultery, fornication, effeminate, which is homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is washed by the blood of Jesus if you apply it.
Yeah.
Amen. And that is a key word. You have to apply it.
Yes.
And we, God didn't come to save the people that were already, had it together. He came to save those who needed to get it together.
Right.
And the only way they could get it together was through God.
Yes.
You don't go to the hospital if you are well to get fixed up.
Right. That's what he said. They that are whole need not a physician.
Exactly. Jesus himself said that in the gospel.
Yeah.
That you do not go to a physician if you are not sick. And so if we had that mentality, we know that we were all sinners.
Yeah.
Every man was a sinner.
Yeah.
And every man needed his sins washed away. But God didn't overlook you because you were a sinner. God didn't overlook anybody because they were sinning. He died for the whole world,
mm-hmm.
because he loved the world so much that he died.
Yeah.
Amen. Hereby we perceive the love of God,
that he laid down his life
for us.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that we may lay down our lives for the brethren.
Yes.
But we must understand that God didn't do this for anything that he wanted to reestablish his covenant. His everlasting covenant with mankind, because mankind was the only thing that was made in God's image.
Yes.
And we were made in his image after his likeness, and we had to restore that image because Adam marred that image.
Yes.
Amen. And we will as we continue to read, we will see that Adam, through one man, all men died. And that man was Adam. If we keep on reading, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son.
Yes.
Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
Yes.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to understand that when Adam sinned against God, he brought death into this world. And after that, that image was marred. And if we look at the book of Genesis, when Seth was born, because Seth was the replacement for Abel,
when Seth was born,
he was born in the image of Adam. It was no longer the image of God, although Adam was made in the image. He, being that sin had dominion over Adam,
yeah.
he couldn't be in the image of God, because God has no sin. But now, when Jesus Christ came to redeem us, he was the second Adam.
Yes.
And that second Adam was able to take away the sins of the world because he was the nearest kinsman to Adam, and he was able to take away our sins. He was able to redeem us from our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And so that mistake that Adam made, it was washed away by Jesus Christ. And the way that you are able to get into that covenant with Jesus Christ, you have to be in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
And a powerful thing about that, and I know we don't have time to deal with it, but in the Old Testament, dealing with the law of redemption, if there was someone that fell in trouble, in order for that person to be redeemed, it had to be a near kinsman.
Yes.
So in that, we understand that that is another reason that God had to become a man. He had to be our kinsman, mankind's kinsman, even to redeem us. So even as we talked about keeping the order of God, even God himself is keeping the order that he himself set. So we understand that through his sacrifice, and we understand that this gift was free, because there's a lot of people out there that say that there's nothing that we can do of ourselves to be saved, and that is true, because the gift of salvation is free. And we understand that that lamb, which is Jesus Christ, was slain before the foundation of the world. But let me put it to you this way. If you receive a voucher in the mail and it says that you have won, you know, a free 2011 Corvette, you have to bring this voucher and you have to redeem it at a certain dealership, okay? I have to do something in order to receive that free gift. I have to go to a certain place,
right,
and do a certain thing to receive that. So even though the gift of salvation is free, there is something that we must do in order to obtain that free gift. And let us understand this also, that what we're going through here is Paul is showing us that each and every person, whether you were a Jew or a Gentile, he's like I said this last week, he's knocking us down, he's putting us all on the same platform, if you will. He's starting us all out at sin, and he's showing us that none are righteous are righteous without Christ. If there was no Christ, if that blood was not slain, we would all still be in our sins. Amen.
Yes.
So that's what he's doing. He's showing us that because of Adam, because of the transgression of Adam, because of the disobedience of Adam, sin entered into the world. And because of that, all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. But now he's showing us how then that the second Adam, Christ, who was not after the flesh but after the spirit, he came to save mankind from their sins. So he's showing us how powerful Christ is, but he's also showing the order and why we needed him to come into the world. Amen?
Right, right, and it's important, yeah, that we believe Jesus. I forgot to give the guest call-in number, 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566.
And just to add on to that, we talk about the first Adam and the second Adam. Let me go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and it says, in the 45th verse, it says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul." That's Genesis, the second chapter. I believe it's the seventh verse, and it says that is where it is written. And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
Yeah.
Who is that last Adam? If you keep reading.
Yeah.
Albeit it was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, that's Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven.
That's
Jesus Christ. So we know that the last Adam was Jesus Christ. That's where we get first Adam, second Adam from, and that is the explanation for that. That Jesus Christ came in the same. He is the image that Adam was made into.
Amen.
And we know that through the book of Colossians. We know that through the book of Hebrews, that he is the express image of the invisible God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he is the image that Adam was made into. He was the mold. So when the one that was molded was broken, the mold actually had to come to save us. Amen?
Yeah. To save his own image.
Amen.
Yeah, and then somebody said, was Jesus saved? I mean, somebody said, was Adam saved? And they went on to say, he better be.
Amen.
Yeah. So we always say, we try to act like Adam didn't get back to God. Adam was no fool.
Exactly. And through right division, we know that Adam did get his sins atoned for through the coats of skins that God made for him.
Right.
And that he taught his sons how to sacrifice unto God.
Right. He was
That is how Cain and Abel went forth. How do you think they went forth unto God to sacrifice unto him? They had to go, they had to be taught by Adam.
Yes.
So Adam taught them how to sacrifice unto God that they may have their sins atoned for at various times.
Right.
Amen. So moving on, in verse number 16 it says, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is from many offenses unto justification. For if one man's offense death reigned by one, much more than they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. For where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life, by Jesus Christ our Lord."
Amen.
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 Now, moving on into the sixth chapter. The sixth chapter goes right in through from the fifth chapter.
Yes.
Now,
Amen.
We talk about
right.
that grace has abounded much more than sin. So, grace has now positioned itself to cover up sin.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It has become more powerful than sin was.
Right. Jesus.
So now, people may think that grace is a license to sin, because if we are in grace, sin has no more dominion over us. So now, but Paul refutes this thinking in the sixth chapter, very first verse.
Right.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We are dead to sin. Everything that we have done in our past life, we are dead to.
Mm-hmm.
Every sin that we committed is in the grave. How is it in our grave? If we just keep reading, "Know ye not," verse number 3, "that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death." So everything that we did in our past is baptized into that water and is left into that water.
Yeah.
Amen? "That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we are to also walk in the newness of life.
Yes.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin."
Right.
"And he that is dead is
freed
from sin." We have freedom now.
Right.
We were in bondage to sin. Sin was our master. He was our taskmaster. And we are now freed from him. And freedom is such a powerful thing. We have to know that many people do not have certain freedoms.
Yes.
Right. Especially, even in this day, there are people that live in certain countries that do not have the freedoms to do whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the freedom to walk in Jesus Christ in the newness of our life and no longer have to serve sin. We no longer have to serve an addiction. We no longer have to serve our lust.
Mm-hmm.
We no longer
right.
have to serve our desires of our flesh.
Yes.
But we have the Spirit in us working with us that we can walk and praise God freely.
Yes.
We don't longer have to worry about whether we are going to be accepted by God. If we bring our prayers to Him, we no longer have to worry about if we are going to be taken up in any sort of rapture to be with Him. Mm-hmm. We know we are with Him.
Yes.
We no longer have to add that worry in our mind about sin.
Yes.
Because sin was put away by us being baptized into Him.
Yes.
Once we are into Him, the body of Christ has no sin.
Yes.
Right. And that's why He wants to present us as the bride of Christ in heaven,
mm-hmm.
is a sinless, faultless, blameless body. Amen. Amen.
And that's where the work on our behalf really comes into effect, because it's not that we don't have the ability to sin anymore, because it's still there.
Right.
And we'll probably get to it next week where Paul is dealing with this war within us. So the ability to sin is still there, but we should not. It should not be a part of our nature anymore. And that's where you get that, you know, that saying that we have been born again. Essentially, that old man that committed all those old sins has essentially died. That is the representation of that baptism. That old man, that old hoodlum, that old thug, that old prostitute, that old gambler has died. And what do we do with dead people? We bury them. And once you come up, you have been born again. And that's why it says that we should walk in the newness of life. After you have received Christ, you have to walk in Him. So now we need to serve sin no more. Our members, we need to mortify our members that used to operate in sin. Amen. So it's not that we, once we are saved, we're just free from sin. We can never sin anymore. And we're set on a straight path to heaven. If anything, your work becomes harder, because now you have to refrain from a lifestyle of sin. And
right.
We'll get into that later in this book, where it deals with separation and us being sanctified or separated from the world. There's certain things that you can no longer do. There's certain places that you can no longer go into, because you are now property of Christ, if you will. We read in the 20th chapter, I do believe, of Acts, where it says that we were purchased.
Right.
By the blood of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
We are a purchased possession. That's what that peculiar people, when Peter was talking about that, peculiar means that we're not a weird type of person, but a purchase. Now we now belong to Christ. So we need to do what Christ wants us to do. And in order to know what Christ wants us to do, we have to continually read this word. We have to understand what God requires of us now that we have been born again, now that He has justified us, now that He has delivered us from sin. Now, Lord, show me what I need to do to please You. Show me what I need to do so that Your promises can be fulfilled in my life. So that's what we're getting up to, as we're going to go and continue on in chapter 6 probably next week, and we may reach chapter 7, but it's going to be dealing with now how we have been raised up again in the newness of life. And now our instruments of righteousness now, and not instruments of sin. So we need to be doing things that will glorify God in our bodies, not glorifying our flesh. We shouldn't be finding pleasure in the flesh anymore. We need to be finding pleasure in the Spirit. So
right.
These things are very much important. And please, let me say this again, that grace is not, as Elder Fountain said, a license to sin. You cannot use it for Visa card, amen. So we have to understand that God has saved us from sin, but now there's requirements for a lifestyle that we have to live thereafter, amen.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.